table, or do you want to move on a little bit?
I'd like to call the meeting to order for the first quarterly meeting of 2012 for the Board of Regents. Welcome. Calling Dr. Dennison to announce our invocation.
I'm very proud to speak of the person that's going to give her invocation this morning. Joel, you want to stand up? This is Joel David Padgett. He was born in New Jersey, but lucky for us, he made his way to Kentucky. His parents are Mike and Rosanna Padgett, and they live in Glasgow. And his father is a preacher, so this is a preacher's kid. So he graduated from Glasgow High School, and he received a full ROTC scholarship to WKU. His major is Recreation Administration with a minor in Military Science, and he plans to graduate in December 2012. He's a member of Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity, and he's going to begin his full military obligation in the spring of 2013. He has got a little bit of pressure on him. His brother was also in the military and just recently received a Purple Heart, so we're very proud of him. He is one of my son's best friends, and he's also one of my best friends.
Thank you, Dr. Denson. I wanted to thank her, especially for allowing me to be up here and do this for everyone. It's a great honor for a student to be able to come in front of prestigious people like you all. But everybody, please bow their head. Heavenly Father, I come to you today on behalf of the leadership of Western Kentucky University. I pray your wisdom and your direction will be manifested through them in all the decisions and determinations they must make today. I ask for continued blessings upon this school. WKU has been an important factor in the education formation of my sister, my brothers, and me. I pray you will help the Board of Regents to make the best choices for the development of this institution, and that it will continue to offer the best instruction opportunities for future generations. I'm personally thankful for the ROTC program here. Thank you for the training I've received. I know it will help me be the future leader you want me to be for the rest of my life. Your blessings and your favor for these dedicated administrators, leaders, and vision casters. I ask today in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
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 Joel, just very quickly, I know your brother's returned to Afghanistan just in recent days, and he's been highly decorated, and I know he sets a great example for you, and we're proud of him. He completed his degree at a non-traditional age and stayed with it even while serving in the military to complete his baccalaureate degree, and we're very proud of both of you. And our ROTC program, I had the opportunity last week to speak to the seniors at the Bowling Green High in Greenwood, and Warren East, and Warren Central, and South Warren, and a lot of high school ROTC uniforms in those audiences, and it gave me the opportunity to really brag about our ROTC program and the leadership it provides and the quality young men and women that are in our ROTC program. So keep up the great work. We're proud of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet.
Again, call on Secretary Dennison to call the roll.
Ms. Cynthia Harris. Mr. Freddie Higdon.
Here.
Mr. Jim Johnson.
Here.
Mr. James Kennedy.
Present.
Mr. Jim Meyer.
Present.
Dr. Patricia Minter.
Present.
Mr. David Porter.
Here.
Mr. Billy Stevens.
Present.
Mr. Rob Wilkie. Mr. Larry Zelke.
Now, as we do have a quorum, the minutes have been distributed previously to the board, both electronically and hard copy. Do I hear any additions or corrections to the minutes of October 21st, 2011?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion for approval by Regent Minter, seconded by Regent Meyer. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Minutes are adopted unanimously. You have before you today's agenda. Do I hear any objection to proceeding under today's agenda?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to remove item 1.7, approval of a room name change to honor Dr. John Lawson. I'd like to remove that from the consent agenda to the action agenda to be discussed separately.
So noted. Any other change or objection to the agenda?
I'm sorry, I missed what Patty said. Would you repeat that?
I'm pulling the item off to honor Dr. Wassum so that we can talk about that at length.
Sure.
Separately.
With the one modification, we will proceed then with the modified agenda. Turn the meeting over to the Academic Affairs Chair, Chair Dennison.
So we have already decided that we're going to pull 1.7 out. Are there any other items under the Academic Affairs Committee that a board member wishes to remove for discussion? Okay. So at this time, we'd like to discuss action item 1.7, which is approval of room name change to honor Dr. John Watson.
I'd like to introduce Mr. Ron Mitchell, who's the current Department Head of Professional Studies, the department that Dr. Watson also headed. He'll make a few remarks.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity to address the WKU Board of Regents. You have in front of you action item 1.7 concerning the naming of room 115 of the South Campus Academic Wing in honor of Dr. John Watson. This action item provides each of you with an outline of the administrative and faculty positions held by Dr. Watson. What it does not show is who he was. I will take just a couple of minutes to explain who Dr. John Watson was. Dr. Watson was a consummate scholar. He was who many people thought of when they heard the term professor. He was extremely dedicated to this university and to every student and faculty that he came into contact with, not just those in his department or his college. He was a quiet leader, and he led by example. Even after his retirement, he continued to assist the Gordon Ford College and University College with his expert advice, assistance, and wise counsel. A person with such a wealth of knowledge is very rare. Yet he did not seek attention and often shunned any attention bestowed upon him. He really believed you should give your best effort in everything you do or attempt in your life. And that is exactly what he did. In 1985, then President Ronald Reagan made a statement about the United States Marine Corps. And I quote, "Some people spend an entire lifetime wondering if they have made a difference. The Marines do not have that problem." End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Watson made a difference, and he falls in this category. Everyone who knew Dr. John Watson came to realize that he made a difference in their life. His impact on the students, the administrators, and faculty of this university was profound, and he is sorely missed. Although a quiet leader, he was an extremely effective leader as he led by example, which resulted in his impact on so many people in and outside of our university. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask that you unanimously pass this action item to name Room 115 of the South Campus Academic Wing in honor of Dr. John Watson. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would like to add to that in favor of unanimous passage that it was a privilege to know Dr. Watson over the course of 18 years here in various committee capacities, where I learned more than I can ever say from what you correctly describe as his quiet leadership style, attention to detail, and that he did the right thing always and without fail. 4 years ago, over the course of four years, I worked with him on the Faculty Handbook Committee, and it became a far better guideline than it would ever have been without his wealth of knowledge in two different contexts, in two different colleges. And I am indebted to him for what I learned, and thank you for bringing this resolution forward to properly honor someone who did so much for so many on this campus.
If I could make this brief comment, I first met Dr. Watson back in 1973, knew him as a customer and a friend. He was also a good mentor. My daughter took her economics classes under Dr. Watson. and he actually paid me a visit when he didn't think she was quite performing up to what she was capable of. And we had a long chat, and I've known his wife and family. I'd like to make sure, and I'm sure you all will do this automatically, that his family gets copies of everything and some kind of a presentation, because I think you did a beautiful description of what he was all about, and I think the family would really appreciate that, just like you worded.
We have done that, sir, and we will include the family. Yes, sir.
Well, as Mrs. Lawson would say, he's also the consummate gardener.
Any other comments? Thank you for that, and thank you, Ms. Lawson, for being here. You know, I know that behind every good man's a woman, so... Gordon, would you like to just briefly touch on these three approved?
Yes, as consent items, there is one new degree, a very important one, our third practice-oriented doctoral degree, Doctor of Physical Therapy. Director Harvey Wallman is present. That degree will, if approved today, be going forth for consideration by CPE, as well as SACS, as well as CAPTI. It's been a long year, but we're looking forward to the implementation of this degree in the fall. There are two new graduate certificates, one undergraduate certificate, and a couple of undergraduate minors, one in global health service and one in news editorial journalism. Also, we have a number of emeritus faculty appointments approved by the committee at its last meeting, and highly encouraging number of sabbatical leaves, of the order of 20 sabbatical leaves for our faculty to study a wide range of subjects in a wide range of destinations, and details are in your packet.
I might add, Dr. Wallman, that February 15th is the application deadline. As I understand it, you're somewhere in the range of 50 applicants for 30 slots at this point in time, and that number is growing rapidly. So as we expected, the demand will far exceed the available slots, and that will put us in a fortuitous position of having a strong first class in our Doctor of Physical Therapy degree program.
If there's no more discussion, I will entertain a motion to approve all the action items in the Academic Affairs Committee 1.1 through 1.9.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Then let's proceed to our information items enrollment report with Dr. Meredith.
Spring semester is right upon us. Brian will pick us up with the enrollment. Brian.
Spring enrollment is always sort of a different animal than the fall enrollment. It focuses on obviously lots of transfer movement and returning students. Spring enrollment is kind of moving forward at a modest pace. The enrollment report should be floating around to you as we. There you go. Here it comes. Want to point out that, as you would imagine, in January when you receive your higher number of transfers, WKU certainly is leading the state in transfer initiatives right now. We get more transfers from KCTCS than any school in the Commonwealth currently, and the report is certainly bearing that out as well. Some of the numbers are not on the report as of yet. Some of the Novitas students are not settled in. They will be coming in over the next week. Dual credit numbers, they will come in over the next two or three weeks, based on how that system is set up with the high schools and dual credit folks estimate that's about 9%. So you're going to probably see probably approximately about 800 students maybe in that grouping for dual credit for the spring, which is very good. So some of the pluses are going on. So you don't see all that in this report here today. There'll be more movement over the next few weeks in regards to that. We're this late behavior. behavior that we saw a little bit of it in August seems to be sort of a new trend, you know, past trends of that have happened in the past of those high enrollment years may or may not be the case, but this late behavior where students are waiting to see, waiting on financial aid, their scholarships, their personal financial situations, enrollment services is talking to a good many, enrollment management is talking to a good many of those folks now, and we started that process in December, sort of guiding them through there and working with AMES folks in buildings and those sorts of areas to make sure that we're getting creative, because financial seems to be the word of the day. So that's sort of the direction, the thumbnail sketch of sort of where we're heading with our spring enrollment. More to come. These numbers, we believe, will improve over the coming weeks at this point in the game. January, like I say, the January-spring semester is different than in the fall as far as how enrollment develops and fleshes out.
There's less recruitment in the spring and more just focusing on the students who have been with us and making sure we get all of them or nearly all of them back again. And that's where Brian's staff is spending an awful lot of time in recent weeks. And so I would characterize this as a stable report, although the numbers, we do expect to see some complete balancing out over the next 2 weeks.
Just to give the board an idea of what EM and some of the staff are doing, in December before the holiday break, we reached out to students who had not currently registered but had been in school in previous semesters through email as well as snail mail, and then we repeated that effort with a little more twist to it when we got back in January. Another email has gone out, another letter to the homes thinking it might prompt parents, as well as phone calling. The professional staff and EM have been calling these students, trying to see if we can assist them in any way and kind of prompt them and nudge them a little bit. And that's quite a bit of effort in there just to kind of hurry them along, if you will.
Dr. Meredith?
Yes, ma'am.
This may be in Dr. Lavis's report, but do we have the final numbers on winter term? Because I've been wondering how the winter term numbers have been affected by the changes in federal TEL funding.
Winter term, as far as the winter term was down slightly, and that is attributed to the Pell or the lack of Pell for those in-between terms such as winter. You are looking at winter was approximately down about 70 students in there.
And you do think that is the overarching reason?
That we believe the Pell is absolutely driving that.
Makes sense.
For board members who may not be quite as familiar, as part of the federal government's budget stress, Pell grants were back significantly this year and were unavailable for interim terms like a winter term?
Correct.
Back to the old, they had introduced a program to make Pell Grants available year-round, mm-hmm. and found they did not have sufficient funds to continue that, so reverted back. For a student who came in under the intermediate rules, they see that as a quote-unquote cut. Federal funding essentially restored to its previous level. Both winter and spring term, I would like to point out, our number of seniors is increasing, and that's part of our drive to graduate as many students as possible within the reasonable time frame. We gave a report to the board and our retention task force some months ago. Preliminary results indicate that the initiatives are being successful, that more students are being successful in their first semester. And I can paraphrase what Brian has told me, and the response he's getting to many of these phone calls, letters of yes, we're working on it, we'll be there.
Winter term numbers 2066, 2011, 1990, and 2012, that's a difference of 76, and the difference primarily is freshmen and graduate students up in other categories.
Yeah. Which, again, that supports the lack of Pell, I would think. So the good news is seniors and transfers are up, and that's what you really would like to see in January, in the January spring. other questions?
I'm ready to go ahead and do an update on VLO activities.
Yes. This is the 21st century. Learning has changed since I was in school, certainly. Our students, our citizens today, are exposed to information in a wide variety of ways. So the standard classroom format of higher education has evolved significantly. Much of information that students receive is through media, such as the internet and so forth. And I think it's important for universities to catch up. So Dr. Beth Lavis, who is our Associate Vice President for Extended Learning and Outreach, will give us an update on DLO. DLO stands for the Division of Extended Learning and Outreach. I prefer to think of it as Division of Extraordinary Learning Opportunity, because it provides our students access to programs across a wide spectrum of disciplines and locales. And Beth.
All right, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to give you an update on DLO. I've been the associate VP just for a year, so I had my performance evaluation from Dr. Emsley yesterday, and I passed, so I'm very proud of our division that is a support unit of academic affairs. We don't have our own programs necessarily. We support faculty and students at WKU and help them to deliver those educational outreach efforts across from youth programs to non-traditional students across our community, our region, and around the world. So we really take educational outreach seriously. We really are excited about the ways that we support faculty and students in these efforts. We do things on both the non-credit side and the credit side. So on the non-credit side, we have youth programs, we have professional development training, we have state-of-the-art meeting space in the Nicely Center, and we have consortiums with industry training in our region. On the credit side, we support distance learning, winter sessions, summer sessions, study away, cohort programs. So today I want to tell you just a few of our success stories of ways we've partnered with faculty to help these programs. So let's start off with the smallest one. This is not a small program, it's a pretty exciting one. One where the music department in Potter College was interested in doing youth strings programs in our community and needed mechanisms and support functions also. So I don't take credit for the strings program, that's Dean Lee's program, but we did a lot of support for this program. It started in 2003 with 9 of our programs in our community. We now have 400 students this fall in after-school programs, in private lessons here at our university, and we have grown the strings faculty. We have media at WKU, but these programs have supported those faculty members. One full-time tenure line, we have a full-time professional residency, part-time faculty in the strings program, which is a really great thing, and that growth has come from the music department's enthusiasm and then our support in making that program happen in our community. It has been a real success. So, growing up a little bit more, our dual credit program has been going along at WKU for a long time, before DLO was around, but we took it over right around 2003, and we have took over a pretty small program, and this program has grown significantly since we've been working to support this program. These are high school teachers or part-time faculty that are supported by our academic departments very closely. So these are not separate from our academic departments. These courses come through our academic departments, through our department heads, we have faculty liaisons with these high school teachers that mentor them through the process as they teach these college-level courses in our high schools. We serve 24 high schools in our region. We had almost 1,200 students in the fall. We're very proud of this program. It's growing quite a bit. One of the programs that has been very successful is because we are getting this reputation of doing a great job at dual credit. Highlands High in Northern Kentucky invited us to come out and partner with them. They have a capstone scholarship program where they bring several universities in to do different kinds of programs for them. invited to a high school because they're interested in our program and see what great things we're doing. It's really fascinating. So ELO supports those programs in those departments who are actually working with those high school faculty to do that. But we're excited about that program. Non-traditional students across our state and across our country, across the world, are part of our programs. This one, in particular, the Master of Social Work, is one that has grown in the last decade. I guess we started that program somewhere around 2000, 2002. As WKU started that program, and we grew our faculty in that program at the university, the Kentucky Cabinet for Families and Children wanted a professional training program for newly hired state social workers, and WKU had entered into a consortium in that program, and ELO supports that, and we have supported that program. Those courses are offered off-site all across the state, and our faculty teach those courses. We've offered over 5,000 credit hours in that program. It's been very successful in the way that we were supporting the Cabinet for Families. I guess I wanted to say one more thing about that one. That one was so, that one has become so successful that we were asked by Tennessee to form a partnership with the state of Tennessee, and we also offer a cohort to train social workers in rural Tennessee in the upper Cumberland region. So that reputation of ours has grown outside of Kentucky, and we support that program. So this program was one that Ron Mitchell's here. We started out, this has been an older program, but this was to highlight our online learning, because this was an online program, one of our first, where we were looking at just a totally online program, because Weyerhaeuser had asked us to ask WKU to think about how can we deliver an online program. They have leaders across the country in their programs. So we worked with the Commonwealth School and University College now, but they went there and developed an associate's degree in business technology, and then the bachelor's completion degree out of AMS for technology management. This was our first graduate out of that program, Travis Smith, and he and his first trip to the Hill was graduation day. So he was our first fully online undergraduate student. We have had lots of other graduates with our first. Online learning right now has taken off. We really have a great program. We've had over 10,000 course enrollments this fall. I project that we'll have over 30,000 course enrollments this year. Online learning is a wonderful way for our faculty to reach out beyond the classroom here, and also to develop the skills and technology that they also use in the classroom. So we're developing more and more hybrid courses from the skills and technologies and instructional design support that DLO provides for courses even that are happening in the classroom. So one of our programs, I'm sure you've heard of, we've talked about lots of times, is the Communication Disorders Master's Program, where we support the New York school system and deliver that program online but hybrid, because faculty also travel to New York City quite often to make sure that that happens. This particular program is one that I'm very excited about. It has been involved with for a long time. But it kind of demonstrates what we can do with online, because it's more than just distance. We had ceremonies to congratulate the graduates face-to-face in New York City. We've had faculty go up there and attend and give seminars and workshops, weekend courses. Those students are feel very connected to WKU, even though they don't come to Bowling Green. It's an excellent program. That program is a contract program, which is one where our university works with the New York City school system. And to be able to do that, we needed a mechanism. DLO is that mechanism. So we're very proud of that program. The faculty, of course, are the key instruments in delivering that program, but we're happy to support that one. from that program came something that we were really excited about, and that's incubator programs, because what we saw was that there were needs, educational needs outside of that, where faculty were interested in developing programs, either off-site, off-campus, or online, but that we needed some way to get them started. We needed some way to get them going without building the infrastructure prior to offering the courses. And so we developed a program called Incubator Programs. One of the ones you just approved this morning, that graduate certificate in dietetic practice, is going to be an incubator program through DLO. We support the faculty with resources, the online, you know, help them with online resources, with resources to help the program to be developed and then delivered if it's offsite or online. I think that's a really important idea, because that helps us as a university try out programs prior to investing a great amount of money into that program. We can explore that, the options of that program, to make sure that we find audiences. That's important. Some of the other things that we do in DLO, we have marketing and student recruitment, target student recruitment, so that we can help these programs develop. So anyway, that's one of our others, and I'm real proud of this one. These guys are coming home today. This is a picture of the civil engineering students with Dr. Campbell, who are have been doing a winter term program. They've been at Death Valley. They've been at the Salt Sea. They've been in we're looking at floodplain control works. They've been at Hoover Dam. They met with a lot of U.S. flood control officials and have been learning about different kinds of ways to do floodplain control. So they've spent an awesome 2 weeks looking at a lot of strange things. I end up looking at the pictures. Everything looks dry and no trees, no grass, no, I think a lot of strange things. But a great group of students, and they're headed home today. Study Away has been an innovation that I'm very proud of, because faculty-led programs are tough. Faculty have to do a whole lot of logistics, planning, student recruitment, all those things outside of the curriculum development and planning. And I think that faculty need to focus on those parts. We could do those other parts for them. So we did. So we did all the logistics for this program, the marketing, the student recruitment. But most of the time, you know, this is civil engineering students, and they were excited about them.
Study Away, in contrast to Study Abroad.
Yes.
Study Away being domestic primarily, whereas Study Abroad is just that. It's overseas.
Right. That's absolutely right. We are excited about a partnership that we're working on with in international programs, where we are working on supporting faculty-led study abroad courses as well in this manner. For the same reason, consortiums are great. We have some wonderful consortiums that do those kinds of logistics and planning for our faculty. But we believe that faculty-led programs are the best way for our students to learn from our faculty, and so we're going to start that program soon. We're excited about that. Also, out of Study Away has come the National Student Exchange. It's an exchange program similar to our international exchanges, but it is an exchange program within the United States, Canada, and our Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands. And in this gives the students another opportunity to explore other to enhance their program. So, for instance, one of the examples was that the potential is our new viticulture program. So winemaking here from agriculture, you learn those kinds of pieces. But you might go to a school in California and learn the business side or the marketing side for a semester and then come back. And then that would enhance that kind of exchange of courses within a program, could really enhance the whole program. And it's another way for students to come here as an undergraduate and then think about grad school for us. So there are a lot of potential possibilities that are good for the AU at this National Student Exchange. I'm very proud of that one. That's you. The last one, this one hasn't happened yet, where we spent a couple of years working on plans for these. We hope that this one's going to happen this summer, but regardless, we're working on more. These are American cultural immersion projects. And so this is bringing international students here to Bowling Green for a short term. And so instead of a semester or for a whole degree program, this is a short term exploration kind of thing. Summertime, a few weeks, maybe one course, maybe two courses, directed internships or research opportunities, ways that we can get international students to our campus for short periods of time. This, the first one we're working on is with the Political Science Department. Very proud of this program. And the reason I added this one at the end was because this is the way DELO works. So it includes the units inside DELO that are summer sessions, study away, my cohort programs people, continuing ed, and so in our marketing office, we bring all of the resources that we have inside DELO to a project, and it doesn't necessarily fit in one path or another. We find a way to make these projects work. I picked some adjectives for us. I'm very proud of our division. We work very hard to be responsive, to be innovative, to be flexible, to help faculty do what they do best. Questions?
Comment. You all do a great job as someone who's taught online, and I guess a lot of what I do every day now would be hybrid because I'm using a lot more technology than I used to, and your team is the fastest response team on campus, period, end of subject, and every time we need something, it's done quickly, it's done right, and that allows us to do what we need to do, which is to teach the material and continue to research it. So thank you, and keep up the good work.
ELO is our entrepreneurial unit, and it takes advantage of the talent across our faculty and creates new markets and uses new technologies to access those markets. And without DELO or something like that, we would be in retrenchment if we were reliant upon the traditional methods of instruction and delivery. The creation of DELO, which is now about 7 years old,
almost eight,
has really created that dynamic, responsive, great word, dimension of our academic community, and is bringing new dimensions of academic quality and strength and opportunity. And consequently, I think Gordon and Beth are going to share with you some things that we've just learned recently that we've been recognized for.
Sure, absolutely.
Good place,
indeed.
She's
too modest, but yes, go ahead.
I am very proud of that one. I had it in my notes and skipped right over it. The U.S. News and World Report, their survey results came out, and WKU was in the top 10 for student services and technology and online learning, which, that says a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's top 10 in America. We're not talking something statewide or southeast with some great universities. That is just really a testament to the success and the work both among our faculty and your staff. I wanted so bad to send this to the board when this came about a week ago and just let you know about this, but I didn't want to get out in front of Beth in this presentation today. In fact, we'll make copies of this, Julia. Send that around to Julia. But it's just very impressive, and the nation has taken notice. And in Kentucky, far and away among the eight universities, what we're doing online and distance learning is we're shaping the curve, and it's we're not sitting back waiting for some CPE program to whatever. We're going for it, and we're seizing these markets. And frankly, what we're doing with DELO is really at the core of our enrollment stability and our enrollment growth opportunities in the future. And it's also produces great revenue. There are additional fees that students pay to take online courses because it's not inexpensive or easy, because typically faculty are doing this above and beyond their normal course load, and it takes work and it takes effort, and an online class of 30 students, there's more individual attention typically in those courses than there is for a traditional classroom of 30 students in an academic building, because every communication is one-on-one that student. And so it's I'm just really proud of this dynamic of our university, and in my opinion, this is our entrepreneurial pulse for the university right here.
I know that the universities aren't supposed to be in the business of making money, but does DLO,
we're not in the business of losing money either.
Right? Still, does DLO meet its expenses? I mean, I know that's a difficult thing because you have to apportion so many different expenses, but at least from the faculty standpoint, let's just say, and the technology used, does it cover the expense?
Yes.
It makes
you want to touch on your financial structure.
Let me tell you, not only DLO does generate revenue, and we're very conscious to distribute that back to colleges and departments, to the faculty, and that's provided some invaluable resources over and above the base budget for creative activity within departments and colleges. We distributed, I believe, about $2.5 million.
Yes, we did.
The colleges and departments last year as a result.
If it's possible, I'd like to see that, you know, the expense side, the revenue side, and the distribution, the way you just explained it, if that's possible.
Sure.
I think it's a great idea because I think it's important that the board see what's keeping the ship afloat.
Right.
And there's a big chunk of what's keeping the ship afloat, and what's also allowed the, you know, a lot of faculty, there's some incentive pay involved. And that's one of the things that's tamped down a little bit of discontent for those who, you know, move into those programs. So it's very important.
It's always important for us to make sure that we support the faculty and the departments in the ways that we can, in every way that we can, with all the resources that we can, and everything we do goes back to those faculty and departments of the university. But we do a good job at it.
And there's a little bit in the financial report, Larry. You can get a sense of how much of that carry forward is DLO generated.
It also gives us a stability dimension with our revenue profile because that money is not specifically budgeted. I mean, they cover expenses, but it produces more revenue than the actual cost of the programs, and it gives us a flexible dynamic in our budgeting profile that most universities don't have. Most universities succumb to the temptation to budget everything that comes in.
Right.
This gives us a strong dimension of flexibility.
So this puts us in competition, like with, what is it, University of Phoenix, those kind of schools?
No, bad things to say, no.
Sure.
Oh, it does. Well,
They're not the competition. Different class.
Well, but they, yes, that, yeah. We're in competition, but they're everyone. And if we're going to be a leading American university, yes, University of Phoenix, we're in just as much competition as we would be with an institution in Kentucky or elsewhere for these markets, because these markets are worldwide. Bless Beth's heart. I come back from something and I got some wild idea, and yeah, we're on that. You know, I come back from China. Can we do an online Chinese language program? And so the faculty in Potter College of Arts and Letters and our Department of Modern Languages, yeah, we can look into that. Beth said, yeah, we'll study that. And, you know, there's not one. Let's be first in the marketplace. So it's pretty cool.
He had partly answered a question I was going to ask, and that was, how do these marketing opportunities come about? You mentioned, lightly in passing, New York school system with our language programs, and I think you mentioned Tennessee with the master's program in social studies. How do these opportunities come about, and how do you find out about them, and how do you implement them?
Well, you know, our university has a lot of people in it, and people tend to go to conferences or know people in other places. So the one in New York City happened because one faculty member went to a national association and met other people that were from New York City who were frustrated because NYU only had a full-time day program and they were looking for something The faculty member found that one. The faculty, again, in the social work program, we're in that Kentucky consortium. Gail Miller, who was part of our Kentucky government, went to Tennessee, and she knew how great our program was. She invited us down there. So it happens in lots of different ways, but the key is to take advantage of the opportunities when they come back.
And some great salesmanship.
Well, a lot of it is just producing something that is absolutely neat, that is needed in the marketplace. See Dr. Dorner and Dr. Schneider here. In Potter College, for example, we have graduate programs in a number of fields, but in history we've grown the graduate program very quickly to about 70 students by offering a completely online master's. And a lot of people who are the audience for that are people who are teaching and working full-time. They need this certification. Criminology pioneered that. They have about 70 students. 70, Dr. Schneider, about 70 students in the criminology online master's program. And that's something, again, that not every university has. And why people come to these things is we're not selling credit. I mean, the people who take these courses will tell you that, frankly, some of these classes are far more challenging than a face-to-face course. Our online graduate historiography course we're teaching this semester, is that 3,000-page reading list, and you're discussing it, turning in papers, doing everything online. So we are absolutely not selling credit, but we are providing an opportunity to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to take it. There's a student from who's serving in Afghanistan, who's in that historiography class. So it's just taking what we do here and making it more widely available. But you all have given us the tools to pull it off.
Yeah. Let me just mention one thing. You hear about athletic conferences and you think only about athletic teams, but in this top 10 list, Arizona State's number one with the highest ranking. Florida International University is number 3, Troy University is number 5, and we're number 10. So that tells you some pretty innovative academic activity from schools that we tend to only be associated with on the athletic field, very innovative from that perspective.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. That wraps it up.
Next item on the agenda is the closed session. I would entertain a motion that the board go into closed session as provided in KRS 61.810(1) for the purpose of discussing pending litigation against the university.
So moved.
Second.
Moving Regent Zilke, seconded by Mr. Any discussion or debate? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, unanimously approved.